for this day, Lord. We love you. We love you so much, God. And I thank you, Lord, this is your service. So, Father, whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, wherever you want to lead us, that's where we're going to go. So we thank you for it. Not my words, not my will, but your words, your way, your spirit, your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So happy Independence Day weekend, everyone. Did you guys have a great weekend? Can anyone that served in our military, if you could stand up, I would just like to honor you. Thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you so much. There are certain days of the year that we kind of designate to celebrate and thank those that have laid their life down. And I've had family members that have served in the military. As closest to a brother and family member I've had besides my own blood brother and cousins, Johnny Faircloth, he was a Marine and he passed away a few years ago serving in the military. So when these days come around, I think of them. And I thank God for this country. And yeah, we got a long way to go. And that's why we pray and that's why we vote, right? But man, it is a good country. I love America. I've been to third world countries. I tell you, we're not perfect, but man, we have some good roots and we're getting back to them in Jesus' name, right? So when I listen to the national anthem, I really focus on those words. And me and my mom, I'll tell you what, my mom's not a crier. Now, I'm a bit of a crier. I take after my dad. My mom, she's tough. She's vibrant. She's just a naturally joyful person. She's a person that sees the glasses half full. But I'll tell you, when the national anthem plays, I was raised in a family that got quiet. And we turned within our heart. And I thought about what those words meant. And I thought about what those lives meant. And I always, right now, I tear up. Because it's sincere. It's not just a song. And many of you today feel the same way. I love the booming fireworks. I like the sparklers. I like the works. I like my family. My cousin Michael's not here, but I remember one time we were setting off some fireworks in the backyard, and that thing just shot in the wrong direction, and there we have it on camera, and everybody's screaming and squealing, and we're just, you know, best night ever. I love fireworks. I don't even care how many life-threatening situations we're in. If we lose a finger, you got a great story to tell your grandkids, all right? I like going all out, because why not? Right? I pretty much like any excuse to participate in a really great thing. So when it comes to weddings, which I had the honor of doing Ashley Pottle's wedding, Ashley and David, when you see them, please congratulate them. It was an honor to do their wedding. And there are times when I'm doing a wedding ceremony and I like really choke up. I barely got through Stephen and Laura's. I mean, I was like, think about dead rats. Like, don't think about them being in love right now because I'm like losing it. I like getting caught up in celebrating great things. I am the first one on the dance floor and the last one off, normally. If I did the wedding in my like my reverend black dress, I try to like hold off just a little bit so it's not super awkward for everybody. But Stephen and Laura, I was on their dance floor like the whole night. I love to participate. I love to celebrate. At concerts, where do you try to get the good seats? Up front. And it's free here. And if you can't get a good seat, if you can't afford it, what do? You go up front, you know? And I remember going to a concert and you get up front and you kind of, I mean, it takes you probably good. Nevin, how long does it take you to get to the very front? Good, like 30 minutes to work your way. It's all, and you know, you take some black eyes, you know, you're sweaty. You smell like the people that you press past just to get there, right? Every distraction, every hindrance, man, I am getting up front. And then you have to wait through 10 intro bands that you're not even there to see. So then you try to take up as much space as possible. Think big. Think big. Because I'm borderline claustrophobic. And I've like had like the hyperventilation while you're like standing up there for 2 hours. And I'm not going anywhere. I am up front. This is my band. Oh my goodness. And then when they finally get on stage, I don't care how tired I am and annoyed I am or what the person in front of me might be doing. I was like, really? Come on, guys. You know? What are you smoking? This is stupid. I just push it all aside. I'm like, I am here. And then I'm like fist pumping and I'm shouting. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I look ridiculous. Ridiculous. But you know what? Do you care at that moment? No. Because this is my band. This is my jam. You know, and I'm jumping, and I'm an embarrassing jumper because I have barely any rhythm unless it's to reggae music. I don't understand. We did a lot of missions trips during Sunfest. I can find the beat for about 5 minutes with reggae music. And so I am clapping off beat. I am jumping. When everyone else is up in the air, I am down. When everybody else is up, I am up. It's just stupid. The entire thing is absolutely embarrassing. And at the end of the concert, do I think about what I look like? Absolutely not. I had the time of my life! Guys, it's a short, beautiful life, isn't it? Compared to eternity. Why not embrace every opportunity to participate and celebrate great things in life? So here's my kicker. Guess what I'm preaching on? I set you up. I like to take every opportunity to praise God for what he's done. For what he's done in my life. It's even more exciting to praise God for what he's done in my people's life and my church's life. Your Christian fellowship is still standing. Your Christian fellowship is still standing. And I still got a big family. And why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are his temple. And wherever we are gathered, he's in the midst of us, and this is his house. I don't care how many people got stolen. That is worth celebrating. I thank God for what he's done. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. It says, Jeremiah's talking. He said, it's like an intense fire in my heart, trapped in my bones. I can't contain it any longer. When you really think about what God's done in your life, it just gets in you. I don't care who you're sitting beside. It gets out of you. It naturally overflows. You just want to shout it from the rooftops. And that's not awkward to do. Come on, who's been in love? I was sitting beside Miss Susan at a wedding, and we were talking about, you know, how her and Mr. Brenton met. And, you know, when you're in love, you're in love. You want to shout it from the rooftops. You're telling everybody. You're whipping out pictures out of your wallet. Yeah, this is my girl. I don't know what she sees in me. Shoot, Jesus loves me. You know, we want to tell everybody about it. Let's see. If you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 19, 37 through 40. P.S. My message title is this. It's going to be a series. I had 20 pages of notes. You're getting out of here at noon. You are welcome. It will be a series. I can cut off at any point. The title of this message, and I encourage you to write some notes. You might learn a few things. If you're like me, it goes in one ear and out the other unless I write. Like, I just have to write it. The title of the message is, it is all about who? It's all about who? Ministering to the Lord. Part one. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 19, 37 through 40. And I like to read in the Amplified. I know it's a little wordy, but it really paints a very vibrant picture of what's going on. And if you guys remember, this is when Jesus is approaching the city. And the whole crowd of disciples are just getting swept up in what God is doing on this earth. And it says in verse 37, as Jesus was approaching the city, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God loudly for all the mighty miracles and works of power they had witnessed. And they were crying, blessed, celebrated with praises is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and that means in the Amplified, freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result from sin. Guys, just celebrating the very fact that the moment you ask God into your life, what past? I don't know. The moment you ask God to forgive you, what sin? I don't even remember it. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. The only one that keeps remembering it is you and Satan. And the more you talk about it, Satan is loving it because God doesn't even remember, which, oh God, please forgive me. Oh God, I'm so sorry for what I did. He's like, you apologized for this 10 times. I don't even know what you're talking about. Freedom. That gives us great peace and glory, majesty and splendor in the highest. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from the throng, these big crowds of people, said to Jesus, teacher, reprove your disciples, correct them, shut them up. He replied, I tell you, if these keep silent, the very stones would cry out. Guys, it's not weird to shout and sing praises to God. It's not. In fact, it's very much a part of human nature when we get really excited to jump up and down and shout it from the rooftops. I'm in love! We write songs about it. Guys serenade women from like rooftops, you know, and embarrass them because they are so excited. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this. Yes, I will marry you. Please stop embarrassing me. That's what we do. The radio is filled with these secular love songs. Do it. And you know, if you ever watch music videos, whatever, guys, we're not that religious. They're ridiculous, singing their heart out, doing stupid things. Yet we don't criticize them. We don't make fun of them. Interesting thoughts. Okay, Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. And I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. All right, all you people that, listen, I'm older than young and younger than old. I think that's middle aged at this point, 33 and a half. I haven't quite figured out what I am yet. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you know what it says in the Amplified? That's exciting. It says, I'm strong, overcoming, and soaring. Traditional Bible translations say, forget not all his benefits. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up. Am I right? You ever wake up with one of those days? My students have seen me when I've woken up with one of those days. I was like, I am working on it. Okay, I'm going to need about 2 cups of coffee and everybody just to kind of just chill a little bit. We got this chill vibe in the youth group. It's very laid back, mostly because when you get like a lot of adolescence and hormones in a room going on, I mean, it's a lot to go on. So it's like, all right, we're just going to chill a little bit. Sometimes we wake up. You ever had one of those days at work? And like, my father, when he came home from work, all 4 kids were like, Dad's home! Dad's home! Dad's home! Oh, Dad! Dad! You got, hey, what's up? Hi! Dad! Dad, do you want to hang out? Do you want to talk? And he's like, he just came home from the longest day ever. Stumbles in the door. Honey, I'm home! You know, my dad, he pastored and he also built houses. Mr. Jack Forbes was an incredible part of his life in that transition. I thank God for teaching my father how to do half that stuff. Thank you. You know, he was exhausted physically and he was exhausted emotionally because he had 2 jobs, an emotionally taxing job and a physically taxing job. Man, we don't feel like, you know, hanging out, getting real excited sometimes. But I remember my dad, he would look at us. And even if we got in trouble that day, just because he loved us, he would just reach in his heart in faith and just spend time with us. And man, my dad told me I was beautiful every day. That's why I didn't marry some idiot. Gentlemen, if you're worried about your daughter marrying an idiot, you tell her she's beautiful every day and that you love her. If you're worried about your son marrying some, well, we say names, let me think, idiot too. You might tell him that he's a man of God every day, called to do great things. No, it changes you. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of hands. So last night I got to this point in my sermon where I'd chopped down 20 pages of notes to 12. And I was like, I just can't look at this screen anymore. So I went to go hang out with some of my friends, Crystal and Jake Ostrom. And they were just having a bonfire. So I just went out to the bonfire for a good hour and a half, ate some deer bologna, made some like roasted bananas, and just got to like talk and hang out with no agenda. Just want to kind of clear my mind of certain things. And you know what was really crazy? Is I'm sitting there. They start talking about the Lord, start talking about what God's doing in their life. And there are probably 4, including mine, 5 different churches represented. Because I'm actually friends with Christians that go to other churches. And it was just kind of great to hang out with people and get stirred up. Because I'm not the only Christian out there going through stuff. And God's doing great things in my life. So there's something about gathering together with other people with no agenda, except hanging out. And man, when you're already hanging out with God and you're hanging out with other people, what comes out of you? God comes out of you. And it's not weird. And it's not preachy. And it's not sitting around, oh, I'm going to get the Bible out and just whack you upside your head with it. Because everybody likes hanging out with those Christians. If you know one of those Christians, save them. Save them. They need saving more than we do. So when we stir ourselves up with church family, with friends, with other believers, it's good. It's good to gather together in the house of God. Pray with people. Talk to people. Hey, how was your weekend? Well, it was kind of a rough weekend. Yeah, me too. But this, man, this is what God was telling me. And I fought through it. It stirs you up. It's good to worship beside someone. Everybody stretch your arms out. Can you touch someone right now? Good job. No guilt or condemnation. If you can't touch anybody right now, I challenge you. We all need goals. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 in the English Standard Version says, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider how to stir up one another. Oh, wait, when we go to church, it's not about me. It's about going to encourage someone else. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love. Man, love first. Sometimes we just got to learn to love ourselves, receive God's love. Sometimes we need people to remind us why God loves us. You ever have those days where you just feel like you can't do anything right? And someone just encourages you or praises you or sees something in your life. It could just be you're an excellent stonemason. One of the guys at the campfire was a stonemason. He does excellent work unto the Lord. And he loves God with everything in him. And when someone sees what you do and praises you, man, it's just good. Because God created you to be who you're called to be. In the natural and in the spiritual. So let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Okay, Bedside Baptist, I attended that church a lot when I moved away. Because when you're raised where you have to go to church all the time and you go away to somewhere where no one's making you get out of bed, you're like, yes, God, I'm just going to spend time with you like afternoon. Or, yeah, I went to church today. Click, turn on the TV. Click, turn on the podcast. You know, okay, and it's good. And I love listening to other preachers. In fact, sometimes I sneak away to other church services. What, you go to other churches? Sure do. I kind of like it. Nobody knows me, and I can just go worship and not be distracted. No one's asking me any questions. I love it, and it's good to do. But listen, you and I love doing. I like going to other church congregations, more people gathering. Because where two or more are gathered together, there he is in the midst, right? This thing called the corporate anointing. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Okay, so now let's just be honest here, because this is what you're all thinking, and this is what I'm thinking. Because raise your hand if you know Pastor Sherry is not a morning person. It's like first thing this morning, headache. Ugh, not because of anything awkward. I just don't like morning. Okay, I wake up, and actually it's because I'm a drug addict, and I stumble like a zombie towards the coffee pot. And I can't get anything even remotely, like, make any sense until I have at least two bowls of coffee. It's a struggle being me. It's my only vice left, okay? No judgment. You OJ people, congratulations for being way more incredible than me. I love coffee, all right? So you're saying after all this, okay, but it's so hard to worship God on Sunday morning. Morning. Can't you just have a Saturday night service? I'm sorry. Listen, I don't want to go to church on Saturday night. I want to hang out with my friends. She just said that. I am being honest. Okay. Okay. So, and some other people are like, but you don't know what I did last night. You're right. I don't even need to know. In fact, you don't even have to tell me. You can tell God about it. But guys, there is therefore, according to Romans 8:1, there is therefore no guilt, no adjudging, guilty, no shame, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, wait, did you just give me an excuse to do something stupid every Saturday night? No, but I'm just saying, instead of beating yourself up, just go, God, you know, I'm sorry. I just did something foolish last night. Or ready for this one? I had a raging fight with my spouse. I said some words with a few letters in them and maybe some syllables, and I'm feeling real bad about myself. You know what? Just lay it down before God. Because once you just, God, listen, That's not who you are. That's not your identity. He doesn't even remember it after you bring it up to him. And don't you think it's really smart of the enemy just to hit you up the night before? Satan is smart and he plays dirty to distract you. I don't feel like it. I am not a morning person. Sometimes you gotta faith it till you make it. The truth. Okay, nobody in here really feels like really worshiping God and raising your hands, especially on the first song. And listen, I don't need a bunch of robots. Listen, you be you. God created me to be me. God created you to be you. You worship God in spirit and truth. Be who you're called to be. But man, it is really good just to get in faith and go, God, I do not feel it. But faith is believing without seeing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's although you don't feel it, although you don't see it, we just step out and be who he's called us to be. We lift our hands in surrender of the rough morning, of the rough day, of the upcoming Monday, of that blaring headache. But I am so distracted. My kids are crying. We have a loaded diaper here and the entire row knows it. P.S. Couldn't find the matching socks. Took me 30 minutes, guys. No judgment at church. And if you're that mommy wars kind of lady that like judges everybody else's kids because they didn't get their matching outfits and they didn't get a shower last night and there's like crusty something hanging on their mouth. You know what? Please cut us a break here. One day I'm going to be a mom. In the meantime, I'm a mom of 70 teenagers and they don't match their socks either. And I don't judge them. Okay. I am so distracted right now. Guys, it's a miracle I even made it to church. Hubby and I fought the entire way here. Pastors are no different. I was in the back of the minivan as that was going on most Sundays on the way to church. Yes, my parents fought on the way to church. And you don't know why they were like this in worship. I was like, oh God, I'm sorry. I've got to preach. It's the truth. I'm being honest. Pastors are normal people. Sometimes we just have to press past every distraction and every hindrance because Satan is smart. He's going to hit you hardest where it hurts. He's going to nail your button. Your spouse knows that one button to never hit. And you know, somehow Satan is just going to work it. Bam, 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 like four times on the way to church the night before. I had a friend one time texting me, you guys don't have to apologize to me if you're not at church on Sunday. It's okay. This is not that kind of church. We don't take attendance. But she like texted me. She's like, I am so sorry I wasn't at church. We had a raging fight last night. And I was like, listen, I love you. No big deal. You don't even have to text me that. But just so you know, Satan set you up and you took the bait. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Says, let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and sin which so readily and readily and cleverly clings and entangles us. Let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from the non-matching socks. Looking away from all that will distract you to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Guys, when we push past everything and we look to Jesus, we just won. Guys, we win the war. Sometimes we mess up and lose a few battles, but we win the war. And you know what? You remember as a little kid that game called Mousetrap? It's been around forever. Like my parents used to play it. You know, Satan mousetraps your life. And he sets up like little tiny things just to trip you up, to throw you off. And he gives you the little bait out there. And you know what? Sometimes we take the bait, right? We mess up all the time. But don't take the bait. And if you do, ask God to forgive you and God gets you out of it. We don't play his game. Because listen, whatever keeps you from worshiping, he's going to hit it again and again and again until you say, you know what? You throw at me everything you got. I will still worship his name. I will still praise him in the storm. You're not going to steal my worship. Don't wait for a feeling in worship or a revival service. Guys, it's our New Testament right to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in the Amplified, ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. The original Greek word this comes from, it actually means be being. Okay, God didn't have a stutter when he wrote the Bible. To be being filled is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? If you keep reading, it tells you how. Ephesians 5, verses 18, it goes and tells us in 19 and 20. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, among other people. Making music to the Lord in your hearts. Make up new songs. Hum while you're vacuuming. Give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord. In any relationship, it is an actual choice to constantly be being in love with someone. Am I right? It's a choice to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit, despite our circumstances. It is a choice to be being on fire for God. Because you know what, my generation, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to have time to talk about my burnout church experience when I moved away. I was like, I am so done with this. So many fruitcakes doing dumb things. And I thought being on fire for God was being the weirdest person in the room that you want to sit on the opposite side of the church from. And you don't acknowledge them in public. You see them at Walmart. You just go down the other aisle. We think it. That's not what it means to be on fire for God. To be on fire for God is just to make a choice that no matter the good or the bad, no matter what's going on in my life, I will love him and I will worship him with everything in me, even when I don't feel like it. As I was saying, I wasn't always so expressive in worship. I went through my jaded church burnout kind of phase. You know, been there, done that. If that's all church is, we're good. Listen, I'm saved. I'm born again. Jesus, I love you. But I'm really just not about getting together with all those weirdos anymore. Peace. Bedside Baptist. Catch you on TV. I am not going to throw a stone if I've been that myself, right? So I just want you to know I've been on that side, okay? And when you did go to church, it's morning once again. And I was doing something stupid with my friends the night before most times. And I'm sitting there going, God, please don't have the minister call me out. Don't have him read my mail to tell me what I was doing last night. So I'd be like sitting there repenting, afraid they were going to call me out for what I was doing. Truth. And then you sit there with your arms closed, hands in pockets. Man, they just go on forever. How many times they sang that verse? And I told the Lord I was never going to be that fruitcake dancing ever. Ever. I just got cool when I was 21. My friends told me, they're like, by the way, you're really cool now. It's like, yes, I'm cool at 21. And I was like, and I am never dancing at church and being that weird person. Never say never is my life story. I also said I'd never move back to York, Pennsylvania. Here I am. So what happened that made me just absolutely undignified, a fool for Christ, talks about in the Bible? I decided to, number one, get over myself and stop making my walk with God all about all the other fruitcake Christians out there. And I decided just make it about me and him. And you know what happened when I got over myself and all my excuses? I fell absolutely in love with God. Embarrassing, head over heels in love. Like, talk to him on my walk to class, weirdo girl. Truth. What happened? I stopped caring. I just don't care anymore. And I fell in love with him. And yeah, we go through those roller coaster moments where we feel a little bit closer. We're feeling more into like expressing our love and shouting it from the rooftops. And other times where it's just kind of that quiet resting in him. So I fell in love with God. And you know what happened some years later? Satan messed with my family. I tell my youth all the time, Satan messes with one of us, he messes with all of us. You mess with the family, you get all of us. Satan messed with my family. We had a couple deaths in the family in just a matter of a few years, and it hurt every single one. My family lost a child. We lost my father. My as close to a brother, cousin, Johnny, was passed away. And I just was tired of wearing that black dress. And it's in those moments you don't really feel like worshiping him, do you? Because you're hurting. But I said, but you're not going to steal my worship. And I don't feel like it, and it hurts. But you're all I got. And you have never left me. And we are going through this storm together. And I got all these people looking to me for strength, and I got none. But I will praise you in the midst of this storm. And I'll connect with your heart and your nature. And through the Holy Spirit, you will fill me with your presence and with more than enough love to love the people that are looking to me. And more enough strength to lead the people that are looking to me. And I will steal back 1,000-fold. I'll take 1,000 more lives out of the pit of hell. And then not only are you not stealing my worship, but you're not even going to steal my praise. Guys, we don't always feel like it. But when you remember that he has you, that is something worth worshiping about. That is something worth praising God about. You know, we think that being an expressive worshiper is going to make you want like one of those fruitcakes. We do. It's a hard concept to embrace. Like I said, we dance and we cry at weddings, sporting events. We cheer, we whoop, we scream. We like belly bump with strangers. Football teams, they're smacking each other's shoulders. Guys, there's just something about getting swept up in celebration. So it's not because we're not created to be like that. It's just something disconnects. Something said church has to be stiff. Bless God, glory together, shaking, running over. And boring. YCF had a real breakthrough at the prayer rally. Raise your hand if you made it to the prayer rally. We were gathered together with about 15 other churches. It was wonderful. And I've just been so proud of our worship teams. And we decided that this was just going to be a moment where we were going to have a breakthrough. Go broke or go home. Like, this is it. And we had a breakthrough in praise. And it was just beautiful. And guys, we're taking ground because we're not going back. We're taking ground. And there was a time of grief here and just praising him through the storm together. But guys, now it's just time to celebrate because we've been stealing back ever since. And it's time to praise him for what he's doing and what he's going to continue to do. 2015, all through this year, so it's been about 6-7 months, I kept hearing whispering in my spirit in the midst of all the other 4 messages that I have to come up with every single week. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. So I started doing a study on it. So I have like 6 months just pent up on the inside of me of what it means to worship and what it means to praise him and what it really means to minister to the Lord. So once again, just part one, don't worry, I'll get you out of here at noon. It's okay. So what is ministering to the Lord? 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Why do you love the Lord? Antonio, why do you love the Lord? He's good to you. Yes, he's good. Miss Carol, why do you love the Lord?
Because
he's your salvation. Uncle Jim, why do you love the Lord?
He set me free.
Guys, we love him just because he first loved us. It's when we begin to see just who God is and start just appreciating his person, who he is, we begin to love him just for himself because he is good. And he's done good things in our lives. We don't love our kids. Now, once again, I have 70 students. I call them my kids sometimes. I have to not because they're teenagers. They're young adults. But, you know, I love them just for who they are. They do stupid things all the time. I can't even tell you how. Like, I'm like, I can't even believe we're having this conversation again. I have had a glimpse of parenthood for 10 years. Just a glimpse. I haven't had to birth them. Thank God, 70. Oh, my gosh. You know, my family has lots of kids, so it's a journey. And they do dumb stuff, and I don't love them any less. If anything, I love them all the more because they're telling me about it. And then we get through it together. I don't love my students for what they do for me. I love them for who they are. And for you parents, you get that. You love your kids for who they are. They come to you with a loaded diaper, snot crusty running down their face, hugged you and just smeared it all in. I just got this dry cleaned. What parent has dry cleaning? I will be that parent that has dry cleaning. I'm sorry. I'm girly. I like my clothes. Okay, whatever. When it's my time, you can make fun of me. I'll probably wear sweatpants every day. We love them for who they are. Okay, on the other side of this, why do we love our parents? Because they loved us. Gosh, and you know, some of us have had less than perfect parents. God does command you to. But there's just something about a parent that has messed up royally and still loves you. My dad made some big mistakes. I never loved him any less. I loved him all the more. I watched my dad get humbled and lose pretty much everything and start from scratch. And he loved us all the more. I love my dad and I love my mom because who they are. They're my parents. God, it's the same way. It's the same way. And we got to remember this in worship. God longs for us just to love him and minister to him. Just to love him for himself. But oftentimes we go to him to receive. Am I right? We go to him with our little grocery list of like prayer. God, I just need this job. I need this car payment. I need this thing done. I need to get my kid through school. I need this. And then we get done praying. We're like, thanks, God. That was fun. Bye. See you next week. Check. I got a story for you. I found this one in a book on ministering to the Lord. And it said, it's a story about President Lincoln. In the middle of President Lincoln's presidency, an elderly lady made an appointment to see him. As she entered his office, he inquired, "How can I be of service to you, madam?" The lady answered, "Mr. President, I know you are a very busy man, and I have not come to ask you for anything. I simply came to bring you this box of cookies, for I heard you enjoy them so much." There was a long silence, and tears flowed from Lincoln's eyes, and then he began to talk. "Madam, I am greatly moved by what you have done. For since I have become president, people have come into this office, one after another, asking for favors and demanding things from me. But you are the first person who has ever entered these premises asking no favors, but bringing a gift. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart." God longs for us just to come to him for himself instead of what he can give us. And it's the same way he wants us to worship him. Not sing songs about us that make us feel so good about ourselves. Guys, contemporary Christian music is a good thing and there's a place for it on Christian radio. It's good. It encourages us. It's fun. It's uplifting. Ever watch the Up channel on TV? It's good stuff. It's encouraging. It's just for fun. You don't have to like everything be preaching the gospel of Jesus on the cross to enjoy it. But those songs are generally about us. And you know, the sad part is in worship, we have a lot of songs they call worship that are all about us. "You make me brave." Interesting. "It is well with my soul." I'm not going to sing all of them. "It is so well with my soul. Let's sing about me and my soul for 5 minutes on repeat. I feel so good about myself." "It's all about me, Jesus." Check out some of those lyrics sometime. I had a revelation of this probably 10 years ago because I roomed with a worship leader for a year. It was probably one of... It was just a really good year in my life. I would mooch off her worship. She'd be in the other room playing on the piano, and I'd be sitting on the couch with my head against the wall, just like mooching off her worship times. And I had this revelation, and we were talking about it, that most of the songs out there, even 10 years ago, they're all about us and not about him. It's harder to find songs than you think, so don't criticize your worship leaders. It is very slim pickings. And there's nothing that irritates me more is when people criticize my friends, right? I am really good friends with the worship team. I am on their team. So if they sing a song that you're just not feeling, you know what? It just shows how shallow our worship lives are, because I can sing to anything. I can worship to anything. I make up my own words half the time because I can't even remember them. So this is not an excuse in this message to go criticize our worship, because that's our team. That's our family. And it is really, really hard to find songs that are all about him. Half the time they have to change the lyrics. Truth. I went through a binder with one of our worship leaders. We found 7 songs. 7. I just picked 7 because it's the Lord's number, but it's around about there. Exaggeration. No, but we really, very few songs are all about him. Sometimes you have to like trim them down. And it's not just the churches that are to blame. Guys, we are an American society. We're individualistic. That's not always a bad thing. I love being an American. I'm a very independent person. But we are also serving an egocentric generation in songwriting. Who do you think's writing the songs? You could probably trash mostly intros, because it really is almost at the point where it's people just trying to outdo each other in these conceptual poetic waves of saying the same thing. You ever wonder why you can't understand half the worship songs out there? Like, what are you even talking about? It's so conceptual and poetic. And I'm going, can we just sing about Jesus? But it's good to be able to do that. You should be able to take your art form and write poetry and write songs about it. No criticism there, but just, hey, for worship, let's sing about him. And I love hearing other people's stories in their songs. I've dated and almost married some interesting worship leaders. I love arts. I love music. But it's all about who? It's all about Jesus. God desires our whole heart and our attention in worship. Deuteronomy 4:23-24 says, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire." I think sometimes in certain circuits of Christianity, we start to worship worship. We start to worship the worship experience. We start to worship the art form we have created to worship him. You know, a really good way to find out is, are we focused on him while we're doing it, or are we focused on the people doing it during worship? And listen, I'm not criticizing those who use their art form to worship Jesus. I'm just saying, in a worship service, anything that distracts us from thinking about him is kind of glorifying our ministry to him instead of him. It's the danger in becoming the charismania touchy-feely show that sometimes we're afraid of. But you know, in being so afraid of that expressive worship, I'm just going to put my hands in the pockets. Just going to be dignified for the Lord. You know, the pendulum swings from one to the other, right? God deserves all the glory, and he wants us all to himself. Jesus reminded us in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You know, when we seek God's face, we automatically get what's in his hand. Sometimes we just got to go just to spend time with him. My pop-pop, you know, pop-pop Cashman, he was one of the most loving overflow with joy. And he was just a delight to be with. And we would go sit beside him, or if we were, you know, little at that time, we'd go sit on his lap. He had the biggest ears you've ever seen. And we would play with his ears, and I'd like flip him over like Dumbo. And I'd sit on his lap and we'd read the funnies, right? he would put you in a headlock and pop every single one of your toes until you screamed and laughed at the same time. That was hanging out with Pop-Pop. You just enjoyed it. And you know, when you spent time with him, just to be with him and just to show him love and to receive his love, he'd always slip you a piece of candy, or when grandma wasn't looking, a big bowl of ice cream. And when we got older and went away to school, he'd slip you like $20 and he'd call it lunch money at the airport. Because he loved us. That was just who he was. He was just the most giving, kind-hearted man. But we've got to first minister to the Lord, and then he ministers to us. as we give him worship just for who he is. He gives and reveals more of himself. We start to receive his character and his nature. And God is, number one, love. And with all these things, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. All these things. We receive him. When we go to minister to him and just love him and just worship him, he shares his character and his nature with us. And all these things come naturally. We receive him in a fresh and fuller way. And great healing comes body, mind, and spirit in the midst of worship. And I'm probably going to preach on it next week because I chopped out 10 pages right about there. Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will take up as much room as you give him. And if you make room for him in your life during worship, he will fill you up till you're overflowing with enough love and enough joy and peace for someone else. If you are not experiencing unconditional love in your life, if you're not experiencing the peace of God in your life, guys, we got to fill up on just him, just to be with him, to have some for someone else. We got to minister to him first. So why do Christians burn out today? Because we've forgotten who it's all about. It's not about ministry. It's not about the flashy programs or the big mega churches, light shows and big bands and 50,000 people in the choir. It's not about the flashy personalities or the 10-point sermons that you can remember. It's all about Jesus. But somehow we have made church, praise, and worship all about us. Ministry to the Lord must always come first before we minister to people and even ourselves. Isaiah 43 verse 21 says, "The people whom I have formed for myself that they might declare my praises." God made us for his pleasure. For his praise, God saved you for himself, not just so you can do stuff for him. He saved you just to spend time with you. So what is true praise and worship, and what is the difference? What is real praise? Is it a really fast song that gets you moving, gets the circus rolling? Yeah, the circus is out. I'm just so excited. Is that praise? It's good entertainment. Click, put that one on Facebook. Oh, I can't believe they just did that. Guys, it's an expression of honor, adoration, and thanksgiving to God. It's about celebrating and telling him and thanking him for what he's done in your life, in other people's lives, and in the world around you. And you ready for this one? For what he is going to do. It takes faith to praise. He's the God of this city. Yeah, we're 18th in the nation for crime. I have members of this church that hear gunshots every week in their backyard. I have members in this youth church that have lost loved ones, but he's the God of this city. In faith, we praise him for what he is doing and will continue to do. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Think about it that way. And it's definitely not dependent on music, although it definitely makes sometimes it a little bit easier because it just pushes away the distractions, right? Helps us focus. Music is good. I love music. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise." It takes a sacrifice to do it sometimes. "Which is the fruit of the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name." Perfect praise comes out of the depths of your heart. Ready for this one? Luke chapter 4, verse 45. Jesus reminds us, "Because out of the abundance of the heart, out of the overflow, the mouth speaks." Guys, we might just need to spend more time in his word and get more of him in us to the point we get so spiritually constipated. Yes, I just said that. I'm a youth pastor. That it just explodes out of us. Oh my gosh, worst analogy ever. Just came to me. Wasn't in my notes. I'm having a hard time praising him. You might need to get full of the word, full of his presence. Because it naturally overflows. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're a Christian complainer, nobody wants to come to your house for Thanksgiving. We are counting the clock in conversations. Guys, you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit then. A spirit-filled life is full of the fruits of the Spirit. Think about that. All you Christian snobs out there. What is real worship? It's not the slow tempo emotional songs where I'm just crying. Because I'll be real with you, when you look at half the worship songs out there, they are just depressing. I'm in the miry clay. I'm still in the miry clay. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. This is my story. This is my song. Depressing, okay? And I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, oh God, they're singing a miry clay song again. Can we get out of the miry clay? Worship. It comes from this English word, worth-ship. Oh my gosh, that was genius, Sherry. That was revelation. It means to give honor to whom is honorable. So if you think about it like this, reverential honor. Singing in tongues up here now. Kidding. Sarcasm. I'm plagued by it. We're going to skip it. Reverential honor. Bam, 10 points. Honor and adoration to God just for who he is. Worship is singing God. It's singing to God just for who he is. It's singing about his character and his nature. It is a vertical thing. It always ascends to him. We're thinking about him. I'm not thinking about who's stuck in the miry clay or someone else's story. I am thinking about him. It's a lifestyle, and it's not just bound to music. Worship is a lifestyle in everything we do. At the grocery store, paying for that single mom's groceries. It's just this overflow of just love and being the character and nature of God. Psalms 145, verse 5. We're going to practice picking out praise and worship. Psalms 145 verse 5 says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works I will meditate. So the worship focuses on who God is, his character, his nature, his majesty. Okay, the praise side of it focuses on what God has done, his wondrous works. This is what praise and worship really is. So what's all that other stuff? It's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. It's that fluff. Remember when you were a kid and you got the Easter basket and it is full to the brim. Mom is awesome with candy. And then there's this giant chocolate bunny. And that's the first thing you go to when you're a little kid. You just go for the biggest thing there. Just shove all that other stuff out. And you rip off the wrapping and you take a bite, normally the head, right? At least the guys. Guys always bite the head off. Oh, that was disappointing. There's nothing in there. There's absolutely nothing in there. What a waste. What a disappointment. Well, after a while, you stop eating the chocolate bunny, right? And I would always trade it to my younger and slightly dumber sibling. Oh, do you want the big chocolate bunny with nothing in it? Magical disappointment. And this is how worship music is. It's a candy-coated shallow zero, half of it. Because it's not even about him. And you wonder why you're not satisfied at the end of it. Thoughts. Feels like something's missing. You can go to other, I have to be careful I say this. You could go to a worship conference or a church that is just doing a worship service. And if you sing for an hour and a half songs that are all about me, all about my story, you can kind of leave the same way you came in. Candy-coated nothing. It's missing something. It's missing him. I change the words half the time. You see me, I'm praying my own thing. I'm singing my own words. I don't hold it against my team. I'm on their team. Those are my people. I'll just sing my own song to the Lord. No criticism. Just love. Just enjoy the opportunity to worship him. It's incredible how often ministering to the Lord is referred to in the Bible, yet we never really focus on it. I'd never heard a message about ministering to the Lord. I was kind of sad, so I started doing a study. Deuteronomy 10:8. Oh my gosh, it's 11:55. Oh, wow. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8, it says, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before him, and the Lord to minister to him and to bless his name. The Ark was mobile church. Guess what we are now? The mobile church. We are his temple. We are his body. And according to Revelations 5:10, it says, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.
We are all a kingdom of priests and kings, and our purpose is to minister to the Lord. Revelations 1, 5 through 6 in the NIV says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve God the Father, to give him glory and power forever and ever. And that freedom is worth celebrating bigger than the 4th of July. 2 Chronicles 5:11-13-14. I want you to just picture this. Maybe close your eyes. Just picture this. It says, when the priests came out of the holy place, verse 13, it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make for themselves to be heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised, the trumpets and the cymbals and the other musical instruments in praise to the Lord. It was loud. It was noisy. For some of you folk going, worship is just so loud. I don't know why they have to bang on those drums all the time. It's been like that since the beginning of time. I love me some loud music. And if you don't, that's okay, because it's not about who? It's about Jesus, and it's also about a generation. I'll make a lot of sacrifices for a generation. I'll listen to music that I'm not really into, because it's about God moving in their life. And other musical instruments in praise to the Lord. For he is good, they're saying. For he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. What is glory? I preached on it. You can go check out our messages online on www.ycf.com. Click. There's a really great sermon on there about grace and glory, and I'm just going to touch on it. Go back and listen to it. The Hebrew word for glory, kabod, is God's honor, splendor, dignity, and abundance. And it comes from this root word, which means heavy or weighty. So it is God's weighted presence, his weighted character, his very nature. And just like an apple is the sweetest, most fulfilling part of an apple tree, so is grace. Grace is the apple. Excuse me, mess that up. So is glory on the tree of grace. All right, so the more grace we receive in our lives, what comes out of it is the fruit of God's glory. And I preach on this and I don't have time for it. But what is grace? In Strong's Concordance, it comes from the root word charis. It means the divine influence upon the heart. God's character, God's nature, his divine influence upon our heart and its reflection in our lives. So if you think about this, the more of God's grace that we receive, his character, his nature, just by spending time with him, it gets super saturated and it starts to grow. And when you come in a gathering together of believers and everyone is just receiving God's character, his nature, his grace, his goodness, his love, it starts getting super saturated in here. And that corporate anointing, which I don't have time to preach on, hits. And something changes in the atmosphere. The glory of God becomes tangible. And I've actually seen visions of it in times of worship. The New Testament leaders in the early church would minister to the Lord privately when they came together, and they also would minister publicly. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, while they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate now to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, the New King James actually says that they had ministered to the Lord and fasted. So praise, worship, it is ministering to the Lord. When we spend time ministering to God just for who he is, what naturally overflows is the clarification of the call of God on our lives. As we spend time with God and make our focus and attention Godward, what overflows is this calling and this equipping and this blessing to overflow manward. It's about him. And as we receive his ministry, he ministers to us to the point where we start overflowing, where we can't keep it on the inside and it goes out towards other people. I crave my times with God. I go for, on average, about a 2-hour walk. I'm not a super athlete. I don't run for anybody. There better be somebody dying when I get there. I run to save lives. But I go on two hour long walks just to spend time with God. And I just pray and I talk to him. I kind of hum my own songs to him. I'm probably the weird girl in the neighborhood, just kind of talking to myself. And God will, at the end of it, just kind of clarify things in my life. Questions that I've been asking, he just drops in me. Direction, creativity just drops in me because I'm just spending time just to be with him. And we were created for this. And I'm going to wrap up on this thought. Come back next week for the other ridiculous amount of notes I have. when we minister to the Lord on earth, we join with the millions in heavenly places doing the same. If you want to open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. John wrote a vision of the throne room worship. Sometimes we forget what worship is. Maybe we just need to get to the throne room. And it says here, "Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four living beings said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lord." Why doesn't our worship look and sound like that? Guys, we've just made it really complicated. Because it's all about him. And if you're having a hard time, like the majority of people out there, connecting, or pretty much everybody, especially on the first song, just still your heart and start thanking God for what he's done in your life. It's foundational. But if you can just jump ahead and just thank God for who he is, it connects with his heart. And I'm going to just stop here. Can we just sing a song and you guys are dismissed? Is that okay? I don't want to preach this into the ground, you know? So let's just give a time to practice it. Can we sing that last song? It's okay. We're going to give them a little time to get situated. Um.